Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. This week, we're talking about the old country. We're talking about a little island getting perpetually kicked through the Mediterranean. We're talking about Sicily, the place where my family came from and where our two guests came from. So first, we have a returning guest. He is a podcast host, co-hyphen, as well as a poet and copywriter. It's Mike Ravagno. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. If you couldn't tell, I was Italian. Yes, the last name is Gravagno, and there are a surprising amount of G's.
Yeah, you drop that G next to the N, and you know that you're in for a good time.
Yeah, it's lasagna in human form.
Yeah, that's what makes gnome so fun.
Gnome.
Yeah, come on. Everybody loves it. Gnome Alaska.
Italian name, gnome.
So, Mike, how you been?
I've been good. I don't podcasting a lot as I do, copywriting a lot. You really boiled down the only activities I have in this quarantine. I copyright and I podcast and I guess I poet, but and I drink.
Yeah.
We're all drinkers. I think
before we are now.
Yeah. Oh, seriously. I've definitely learned to appreciate different kinds of liquor more than I ever had. Cause I used to just be like, oh, I'll just have a beer here and there.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I have a bottle of brandy that I'm going through this week.
Yeah. Let me have some fun with it. Let me get a little frisky. Yeah. I was very much a stoner before all of this. And then I started doing podcasting with like fully grown adult men. And I realized like, oh, we're a drinking culture.
I do think you can drink and stay on threads, or at least think you can stay on threads, where you're stoned and you cannot stay on threads, or you start thinking like, did I miss something? And you spiral out there. So it's like, what kind of substance
do you want? I do think that when I'm stoned, I do have cooler ideas, but I will ask you to tell me where I was.
You would just have to close edit the shit out of a stoned podcast.
Yeah.
And know what? But nobody wants a Coke podcast. You can drink and maybe close edit pot, but nobody wants fast talking, high pitch. I got the best idea podcast. Yeah.
Oh my God, this is the best episode we've ever done. You guys have to just put down what you're doing. I know you're listening to the show, so you shouldn't put this down, but keep listening to the show. Yeah. Nobody wants that.
People want to choose to listen to podcasts at 2x. They don't want it forced upon them.
I don't know. You know what I really like though? You ever listen to a heroin podcast? Those guys are chill as hell.
They just nap in the middle of it.
they're just hanging.
It's just basically white noise and and chewing sounds.
With me, right?
I'm too catatonic a stoner to do that and podcast at the same time, because I would literally just kind of end up staring at the two of you and going, oh wait, are we still doing this? Shoot.
Yeah, I'd get lost in the mirror that is the Zoom.
Wait a second, my hair looks longer than I remember. was I wearing like a fuchsia sweater before? I don't know. So yeah, Mike, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here as always. It's I both feel bad how often I've been on, and I'm insulted that I've not been on more. So that's the kind of person you're dealing with.
Well, we should just do a two-hander show. We should do a three-hander show. I just came up with an idea called Team of the Week, where, because I really like sports, but my baseball team let me down severely this year. So I was like, what baseball team will I follow?
Who's your team?
I've been a Rockies fan since they arrived here when I was 12 years old.
I was going to guess the Mariners.
But they traded the best third baseman in baseball away for nothing and actually paid St. Louis to take him, which is absurd. So I was kind of shopping teams. I think my team of the year for this year will be the New York Mets, because I like the polar bear guy, Pete Alonso. But I'm going to call him Meaty Petey because I like that better. But this game of this team of the week is like, hey, we could just pick a team and be like, let's just talk about being fans of this team, and we would be silly.
Could bullshit about sports for sure. I played every sport known to man as a child because my parents were like, God damn it, he can't be this frail, and they were wrong. I could be. I hate sports to this day, but I can bullshit.
You ever try and walk a small dog against its will? You know how it locks its knees
several times a day. I was the goalie in soccer. It bent my finger backwards. I cried and ran off the field and never played soccer again.
Oh man.
Being 18 was hard, man.
So hey, that's just an idea. But I have to introduce our second guest. Yeah. First time on the show, first time on A Vague Idea. She is also a podcaster. She has guest hosted the show that Mike is on, Movie of the Year. She's also a copywriter. And I'm sure you're creative in all sorts of other ways.
Yes. No, that's it. That's I've known it. Kate. That's it.
That's all there
I
is.
I don't think you've seen the way I make pasta. I get a little kooky over there.
Ooh, yeah. All right.
Not like old country.
Yeah. Well, Kate Dellis, welcome to the show.
It becomes a porridge. Hi, I'm Kate Dellis.
Yes. Welcome. Yes, this pasta porridge. Let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Pasta porridge.
I want there to be absolutely no form, so that way it really does feel like I'm eating my own vomit. But it still tastes of the Mediterranean Sea because I use handfuls of salt the way that
great.
I tell them.
So yes. You're going from al dente to Chef Boyardee.
Yes.
in the pasta cooking range.
Exactly.
Have you guys are both wops like me. We're allowed to say that, right? The three of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, sure. So we're Dagos. We can say
if
that.
If not us, who? If not now, if
not
when?
Us, who? Not a day ago, a new form of pasta was announced, and all the headlines are like, if you're bored with spaghetti,
they get press releases.
Yeah, it's called I assume cascatelli, but it looks like a squid tentacle or like an octopi tentacle curved. But yeah. all the press releases, and it is absurd that a new pasta shape has press releases, are all about like you're bored with the shapes. I'm not. It all tastes the same. Why would I be bored with the shapes? It's absurd.
What am I, a king?
just
another bidet, another.
I'm another happy with my minions wheel. Pasta shapes like I have since they were made.
I've been sitting around looking at my bowls going, you know, I really need a Lovecraftian nightmare of a pasta.
Yes.
To throw into my life.
I'm sorry, have you met my pasta porridge?
Yeah, that does sound terrible.
So, Kate, how are you? Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is very, very fun.
Hey, I promise it'll at least be as fun as this or slightly cool. less fun. It might even be more fun, but I can't promise that.
So actually, you can't promise anything.
No, I definitely cannot. Certainly, if there's anything I've learned over the last year, I can promise nothing.
Truly.
But this week, so we're gonna talk about Sicily and the great German poet, playwright, scientist, and statesman Johann Wolfgang von Goethe once said, "To have seen Italy without having seen Sicily is to not have seen Italy at all. For Sicily is the clue to everything."
The clue to everything.
Huh.
Yeah.
It is a mystical land.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not in like the, when I think of, so my two old countries are Sicily and Ireland. And when I think of like Scotland, Ireland, I think like mystical of like leprechauns and the fae and like
the fae.
But Italy is just like mystical in the way that you might get shanked around any corner, but God damn it, won't it be a charming, handsome bastard who shanks you?
And they'll probably feed you well after. They'll be like, hey, while you bleed out, you got to eat something. You look terrible.
I don't know if anyone's talked about this, but Italian food rules.
Oh, yeah.
I'm eating some tonight. After we hang up, I'm getting Italian food.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. I made cacio e pepe today, this afternoon.
That is good.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
We got a ringer on the show.
I'm terrified that Kate, I know my name sounds more Italian, but I'm terrified that Kate's going to.
No, I think this is genuinely hilarious because there is a cruelty to the fact that Nate, how Italian are you exactly? How Sicilian are you genetically before we go any further?
Well, this plays into the opening question of tonight's game.
She's a natural. That's why she guest hosts everybody's show. She's
I know
just too
the
good.
The segues, man. You'd think that you invented an illy conceived conveyance that would throw its inventor off of a cliffside to his death. We're all of Sicilian descent here, so my question for both of you is how far removed are you from yours, and what impact did your Sicilian or Italian background / heritage, I hate that word because it's so shitty and used by assholes now, but how much has that impacted your upbringing? Kate, to answer you, I'll go first, because why not? So my grandfather was born in this country, but he was the last of the family born, and the rest of his brothers and sisters were born in Italy and came over on a boat. It was like 1912, 1914, something like that. So, you know, my grandfather's birth name was Giuseppe Ragolia, and he was Americanized to Joseph. And so my middle name is Joseph also.
Nice
my
name.
My middle name's Joseph.
Hey, shit.
Very Catholic of you guys.
Right. Well, so Catholic. Yeah. every visit too. Was like, oh, cool. It's Sunday. I can't wait to go sit in church for 6 hours and feel bad about myself.
Yeah. That's
I'm nine.
Yeah. Nothing like, talking about being a Sicilian. Has anyone ever sat through, Stations of the Cross, the 5 hour, no? Okay.
That oh no, I don't think I've
Catholic
sat.
Than it is.
Yeah.
That's more Catholic than it is Sicilian. I get the two confused.
They're intertwined.
They are very much.
So yeah, feel free. Talk about Kate, talk about your how far removed are you from your Sicilian descent and what kind of background did it have? What kind of impact did it have on your upbringing?
Well, did you discuss what kind of impact it had on yours?
Oh,
because
oh,
I know
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, how Italian do you feel in your heart?
We were so running away from it. That like zero. My grandmother was from South Carolina, so all of the food that I ate was not Italian. There was almost no Italian cooking that existed. I have a lot of great stories. My grandfather will tell stories about they had a garden and they raised chickens, and like one winter they had a potbelly stove in the kitchen and all the little chicks came like running in and they huddle under the potbelly stove for warmth and just all these images. Like he had his Sunday church suit that was all white and he was like riding in a hay cart and then there's some sort of berry delivery and he ruined his suit. Like, I mean, and honestly, like I love him, dearly departed gentleman. I don't know how much of those things are true because they sound like Little Rascals plots. So,
hey, those guys had a fun time.
They did. Marbles, you know?
Yeah.
I love marbles.
Marbles rule. Marbles are super fun in that I've never known what to do with them other than look at them.
No, there's a game.
Yeah.
I know. Because
I got a marble badge as a Cub Scout, which is stupid.
Got a marble license.
It's like Pogs pre-Pogs. It's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a lot like the game Crossfire that came out in the 90s where you just shot ball bearings at a disc to knock it into the other side, but you do that with just round pieces of glass.
Well, it's an interpolation of the fundamental game of I'm gonna hit stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't every
sport an age-old I'm
game.
Hit stuff?
Yeah, it's all this. It's all
I'm gonna just hit small stuff now instead of hitting big stuff.
Exactly. Well, I'm so small. Look at my hand. I'm 5.
We're little. We're just little kids.
We're just little rascals.
Yeah. Look at us rascaling about.
Rascaling.
So yeah, not a whole lot of real impact on my life. I mean, granted, like we, you know, those stories, like we'd go to Italian restaurants and stuff back east, whatever. But yeah, I mean,
well, when you're there, your family.
Yeah, exactly. Every time I go to the Olive Garden, I'm like, hey guys, good to see you. I hug
you.
And kiss. I kiss everybody on the mouth.
They love it.
They do.
Hashtag maskless.
Yeah. Hashtag no, never mind. Yeah.
Hashtag no, never mind. That's a very Olive Garden vibe.
Olive Garden, if you want to sponsor the podcast, you can tweet at me at Nate Regolia.
They're just gonna give you endless breadsticks.
Are you genetically half or a quarter? Because actually to be Sicilian, okay, that is the most Sicilian way to be Sicilian, which is to only be a quarter Sicilian.
No, I mean I even checked. I was hopeful that I could get the dual citizenship thing, but unfortunately that whole thing, Grampy was born here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, cool. So I have no claim, even though I'm so close.
I know. Yeah. My
why couldn't you be born on a boat on the way out of town?
Yeah. International waters.
But yeah, then you just belong to the sea.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, I'd take a sea passport too. I'd be fine with that. As long as I don't have to be in any Aquaman sequels, I'm okay.
Yeah.
My man.
So my Italian heritage. So I think, and I was thinking about this because it's surprising. I've never talked with any sincerity about it before, because unlike you assholes who have the privilege of an Italian last name because it was your paternal grandfather who was your quarter. My maternal grandfather is my Italian thread. I'm also but a quarter, which is all you need. And yeah. And my mom's name is Louise Geraci. My grandfather's name was Dominic Raphael Geraci. Very, very, very Catholic.
That's a good name, Dominic.
It's a great
Dominic
name. Raphael. That is Dominic strong. Raphael's. Like Dominic that. Is a great name.
Because yeah. Dom is such a great short name.
Yes, Dom is a great. And you know it doesn't.
Dominic
have to
Toretto,
be Dom.
The Dominic best Dom.
Dom DeLuise.
And when you're there, your family.
Yeah. As well and you get to drink Corona.
I insist. So my dad's side of my family are, you know, they've just been white Americans for a couple centuries. They are from the South. My grandparents on my dad's side grew up in Texas. My dad grew up in Arizona. My dad, they are what many would consider without culture, unless you would say country Western stuff. So I guess Texan vibe, but, my dad had thought his sister invented garlic bread. He didn't know that that was someone else's creation. Oh. But on my mom's side, so my mom is genetically half Italian, but she is culturally 100% Italian. Being Italian was a very big part of her life. Her family was very moonstruck. She's from Chicago. Her dad was a jazz musician. She's got 5 siblings. She went to like Catholic all-girls schools. She talks like she'll say the word Calabria instead of Calabria. she's very Italian. And so all of our big family meals, our Christmas meals, Monogat, we have a lot of sausage, a lot of peppers. My father loves it. He tries to be Italian so hard now. So it's like, it's distant, but my grandfather was like, he's the real deal. I remember his car growing up was a black Cadillac with red leather interior.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And there's a tackiness to being Sicilian that I absolutely love. They retired in Scottsdale, which is why I'm from Arizona. And
just tackiness to Scottsdale.
It's tackiness to Scottsdale. It's in the blood.
So you're double tacky.
Oh, you know it. My grandfather in his retirement pool, in the pool in their retirement home, he put in a custom mosaic of a trumpet and like a scale with notes on the bottom of the pool.
Hell yeah.
Yes. To celebrate the fact that he was a trumpet. It was
how
super
actualized is this man? Fucking
yeah,
A,
it's
man.
It's truly manifest. Manifest it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I feel pretty surprisingly culturally Sicilian in a lot of ways when it comes to cuisine and we'll talk about it more.
I'm envious. I'm envious of that. I wish I would have had that. Mike,
yeah,
what
it
do you
makes
got?
Me cool.
Yeah, I grew up very American white Italian. I'm from Philly originally, so got that that East Coast vibe, right? Mm-hmm. My stepmom is the most Italian. It was her parents and she was my stepmom since I was like 5. So they had the plastic covered gold, red, brown furniture my whole yes. life and like hard to understand the whole time because they were from the old country. Mine is paternal grandfather gave me the name Gravano. Growing up, the only thing I really knew about Italian, so there's it would pop up and like my dad's side would like be like, we're Italian, but like when I was little, my granddad went by Lee. And then it was only later that he was like, wait, I'm Emilio. And like Stella got his groove back. He's like, no, I'm Emilia Gravano. I'm not Lee Gravano. I'm just throwing out names here. It's fine. People are dead. Also a musician. He played the bass. Started in Chicago and then was in the Philadelphia Orchestra. But I didn't know we were Sicilian until I was like 22. Mm. And I was at a sandwich shop in Monterey, California called Campagnos. My last name is Gravano. And he's like, Gravano, my name was on my chest for inexplicable reasons right now.
Well, you can like, get it tattooed.
Though. I got it tattooed. Yeah. And then, you know, I guess I should have known I was Sicilian because I was just in a wife beater with a fat gold chain around my neck. And he's like, you're Sicilian. I was like, oh, I don't know. I just know Italy. And he's like, no. All the names that end with G-N-O are Sicilian. I was like, oh, holy shit. And then I asked my dad. He's like, oh, yeah, we're like from Palermo. So I found that out late. I was like, oh yeah, well, but the growing up, the most connection to my name was that Sammy the Bull Gravano ratted out the mob, and there was a made-for-TV movie called Witness to the Mob about him.
Yeah.
And depending on which family member you talk to, we are or are not related to Sammy the Bull. Wink.
But like, yeah, I do. That is the best part. Is the like, yeah, well, maybe, you know.
Yeah. Some pride, some shame, some yeah. don't talk about it, and then I think the most honest, like, fucking no.
Yeah.
Some grandparents would be super into it at times, and like it would come in waves how into being Italian our family would be. But the weirdest part of it, I think, was everybody would like learn my name and be like, "Oh, so do you speak Italian?" I'd be like, "No, do you speak Dutch?" Like, and that's one of those things where like Italian obviously is white, but there are still levels of mm-hmm. white, yeah. and that Italian, oh, yeah. there are still people who are clinging to maybe it isn't fully white, because I just don't think most other white heritage gets asked, "Do you speak where you're from?" I'm like, no, yeah. why would I?
Yeah.
Yeah. We get to be in line with the Irish and exactly. the Chinese as groups of people who were bullied for a longer period of time in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tangential. There is something. And yeah, I suppose, especially with Irish and Italians. Wow. Those are, you can't tell if they love each other or they hate each other. That's my mom's neighborhood growing up was all, you were either Sicilian or you were Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And so to this day, my mother, and I'd say she's kind of joking, but I don't think she is, hates the Irish and will make jokes about the Irish in a way that's like, I didn't even know people were talking about it like this anymore.
Right.
Case in point, guess what she calls Alec Baldwin?
Uh-oh.
What?
That red-faced Mick.
Well, to be fair to your mother, look at him.
Show me the lie.
And the, is it hate or love is my heritage, because I'm half Scott Irish, half Italian. And my parents had so many babies together. My parents were divorced before I was a year old, so it might have been just that angry lust.
Yeah. Oh man. you were like you're the product of a human supernova.
Yes, I do. I don't want to pass this up because we talked about how our families got here, and I feel like this is very distinctly Sicilian. My Sicilian family got here because my great-grandfather had to leave the island because he killed his father over a woman. And the Sicilian government, the city of Palermo said, we don't know, right? Because my granddad died before I could really talk to him about it. It was either he escaped or Palermo said jail or America, and he chose America, just like much later people would get jail or army. He hopped on a boat after he killed his dad over a woman, and then he ended up in Chicago and had a bunch of Gravanos.
Well, most likely, if I'd have to guess the woman, it's probably his ma, his number one girl.
Yeah, it's over his mother. I'm just so fascinated with that. And, I don't think hereditarily made me have weird relationships with women at all.
Yeah, no. Look at you.
My family has a story of, quote, one-armed Steve, who apparently left Sicily because of some sort of infraction of a similar kind, either a dishonoring
of his arm.
or that he I don't know, maybe he knew something he wasn't supposed to know with the mafia, I don't know, but he comes to the US and he loses one arm in a tire factory accident. Hell, and that is as much of the story as I know. Obviously, like, who wants to lose an arm that way?
No accident.
I've actually got good arm losing stories from both sides of my family. My mom's family, one of her uncles lost an arm in like a farming combine.
Oh shit.
Like trying to, it was like stuck and he like pulled, I don't know, like a stalk of corn out, and it just like, rah. Yeah, horrible stuff.
From what I know about combines, they only exist to make old men have lost parts of their body to scare children.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I think you're right. It's to create some sort of origin story. I'm trying to think of Johnny Cash's younger brother. Whenever anyone like dies of equipment,
mm-hmm.
it's really, that's a brutal one. Cause it's like, talk about being maimed by equipment. A very big text in my family, Moonstruck. Nick Cage famously loses. He lost his hand. He lost his girl. Johnny has his hand. Johnny has his girl. My mom quoted that movie so much growing up that I thought what I thought had thought my whole life were idioms were actually just lines just from the screenplay. My mom was just quoting Moonstruck my whole time. I just thought like, I just assumed like
what?
Everything is temporary, Loretta. That don't excuse nothing was like, yeah, people say that.
What a wonderful anthropological study on how someone develops. Like, oh no, you grew up in an idiom vacuum where your texts were. That's brilliant.
Maybe Moonstruck.
Hey, great job, both of you, on the opening question. I'm awarding you each 2 points.
Heck yeah.
So let's jump into the real game here. We're going to start with round number one. Mike, do you have a vague idea about Mount Etna?
I have the vaguest idea about Mount Etna, Kate and Nate, because I fucking went there on my honeymoon. And was I on a different mountaintop eating a delicious pasta while it started to erupt? So it was goddamn magical. You know? That is true.
Oh my God, Mike. That's super cool.
That's great.
It was beautiful. Did I tear up a little? Sure. Italian man can cry.
Yeah.
Mount Etna. Apparently people are just cool with living near an active volcano and they think it's neat instead of terrifying. There's a lot of good wine that comes from there. There's killer grapes because of the volcanic ash. And yeah. I don't know what else you want me to say about it, but it's a pretty dope place.
Right on. That's great. Just the anecdote and the fact that you didn't take it to a really gross place about your honeymoon and a volcano erupting, which that's where
the volcano guys.
Yeah, well, all the pimples had a pop on your wife's back. Like, it's very evocative of that memory.
We're going to dark places. Mike, very good. Kate, anything to add about Mount Etna?
I think that's my health insurance.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to switch,
Mount
girl.
Etna is my... Oh, yeah. No, I get nothing covered. My copays are $200. But, that's my heritage.
Well, you got to wait for that coverage eruption that happens every couple hundred years. You just, if you're there at the right time.
Yeah. I feel like Italians in general are desensitized since Pompeii. They're like, come at me. You know?
What do you got?
Yeah.
I'm going to be immortal if you get me.
Try
Look at these
me.
People.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody knows
ready to be a silhouette so easily.
My whole life I've been dying to be nothing more than a silhouette.
Is that a Postal Service lyric?
Oh, man, we should start a new Postal Service.
I do. I will say I've been recently... I don't know if it is Mount Etna, but it's a different part of Sicily, or maybe the same part. Etna is where like Demeter came down from when she was super pissed that Hades stole Persephone.
Mm.
And it's so she hangs out up there so she can see everything. So when her daughter pops back up, she's like, spring, bitches.
Oh, she's like, sprinkle it down, baby, make it rain.
Yeah. And then, she hangs out. And it has to be, when I heard the story, they were saying Etna wrong, or the Italian way. Learned that. Kate, I'm gunning for these points.
Good job, Mike. All right.
I like it. Yeah. Folks, here's what it is. It's an active volcano that's on the east coast of Sicily. It is one of the most active volcanoes in the world. It is actually literally the world's most active volcano.
Huh.
It's almost in a constant state of activity, which kind of undercuts the specialness of your honeymoon observation, Mike. It's just, it wasn't you.
I'm sorry,
Nate.
Thanks. Is it less special knowing that the tide always goes back? I mean.
Ooh.
Whoa. Okay. Well, hey, that's been called out. All right. I'm giving Kate a call out point. That was good.
Well, I had to get it somewhere. Mike knew what it was.
No, I'll take that point because she was defending me and my honeymoon while Nate was trying to be like, fuck your honeymoon.
It's true.
In Greek mythology, the deadly monster Typhon was trapped under Mount Etna by Zeus. And
That's just
not
fact,
one of the famous
Nate.
Ones.
Hephaestus's forges are also under there, apparently.
I love Hephaestus.
That's pretty cool.
The storage unit. Yeah, the basement.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with Greek mythology growing up. Obsessed.
I was too. I used to be, when I was young, very into mythology and very into constellations. That was, it captured the imagination. Quite a bit.
Constellations were fantastic. And I mean, all of the regular religions, all the boring regular religions do not have cool shit going on. No. All mythological religions are like, it's just a soap opera. You got you got really
turned into
fun.
A swan and fucked a chick.
Yeah.
That's my God.
Hey, now he's a bull. Hey, now, you know, it's like, no, this is interesting.
My
like,
God,
what's going on?
Awesome.
I had, so when I was in the army,
friggin' awesome.
You had to pick a religion on your dog tag. And so I
really?
Yeah, and I said Church of Dionysus, and they didn't question it, so that's what was on.
Yes.
Take me to the Bacchanal.
Yeah, I'm going to do theater and drink a bunch of wine.
Good luck turning this into a man.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Good, great job on Mount Etna. I'm giving you each 3 points because you knew some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling generous on the front of the show, point-wise.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So,
I
Kate.
The points really don't mean anything.
They don't, but they also do. Here's the thing about inflation.
Mike, neither does Mount Etna erupting. Like, oh, my God. Pay attention, guys.
It was beautiful. Yeah. The food was so good.
Every 5 minutes it happens. Like, you were just there. What? Like, big deal.
Yeah. It's nice that it erupts all the time. It's nice that we get lots of points. Let's just be grateful for
just
a surplus.
Nice.
Nate, you were to ask me a question?
Yes, Kate. Do you have a vague idea about a copula?
Oh, I got a couple of vague ideas.
A couple of copulas?
I got a couple of vague ideas. I gotta love the copulas. Their extended family, Nick Cage, Ben Schwartz. Is that Ben Schwartz? No, what's his name?
It's probably not
Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartzman. Ben Schwartz is John Ralphio, another famous Sicilian.
Famous for getting things done.
Yes.
Hell yeah, baby.
The Jewish Sicilian.
Yes, baby. Actually, I'm just realizing I constantly say baby, and I realize I'm doing John Ralphio. Just realized that.
It's kind of a tried and true improv thing to throw babies in, right?
Yeah, exactly. It does. It makes everything funny. So yes, I know quite a bit. So big fan of The Godfather, big fan of Raging Bull, Taxi Driver. As a female film nerd, love Sofia Coppola. I think she is really unique and really lovely. Marie Antoinette rocks. So does, what was it? The Beloved.
The Bling Ring? Oh, no.
The Bling Ring was cool, but what was the one, the recent one with Colin Farrell? It was a remake of like a 70s movie, and it had all those, it had Kirsten Dunst, it had Kirsten Dunst, Nicole Kidman, Elle Fanning, I believe. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay,
yeah,
you don't.
What was that
but
fucking
it's,
movie?
It was beautiful. It was super spooky, and it's like
The Beguiled.
The Beguiled, and it's like a Southern Gothic narrative of like this coven of women. That's very, very, very good. I think she's a great film director. I think Nick Cage is great in Moonstruck.
End of list.
End of list. No,
we're big Nick Cage fans here.
Big. Yeah. I'll be honest. I guess I've seen Face Off, and I guess I've seen National Treasure and Moons.
Mandy's good.
Con Air.
Con Air is good. Those are the big ones.
Right.
Okay, so let me think. I got lost thinking about Nick Cage movies.
That's what everybody does. That's why he still keeps making them.
The Coppolas have a family vineyard, and I was drinking a lot of their Merlot for a while.
How
I
is
thought
that
it was
wine?
Quite fun. Probably, I'm gonna guess like 2-3 weeks.
Are they better?
Take a gander?
Are they better vintners than they are filmmakers? Or no?
I think it depends which Godfather installation you're talking about. Because if we're talking Godfather 3, then maybe. Yeah, that's all I know. I think about the Coppolas.
All right. Great. Yeah, Mike, a Coppola. What do you know about it?
In my head, I definitely thought it was the rounded
top of a building
that had an Arabic Middle Eastern influence, because they also, Sicily just got rampaged by every civilization. People just kept coming in and coming out. So it is this hodgepodge of architectural and historical influences. So I thought it was that cylindrical round, gorgeous top of a building, because Kate kind of, you know, crushed the couple of family.
I love gorgeous round cylindrical tops.
Yeah. It reminds you of the perfection of the heavens.
Exactly.
And also probably boobs.
Yeah, baby.
Which I think is also the perfection of the heavens.
Well, yeah.
Boobies rule, guys.
Nate, how often do you make shirts for a vague idea? Because I do think you could have a vague idea. Boobies rule, guys, on the back of the shirt.
Yeah, you know what? I'll make one. Why not?
Yeah. And just a picture of Kate, like, doing a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good.
Smile.
I would 100% do that. I will make that shirt. I will put it on the store.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Mike, that's a cupola with a U. C-U-P-O-L-A. Cupola. Yeah. The other thing that we were missing here was that a cupola is also a traditional flat cap worn by men in Sicily. So the cupola family probably were just guys wearing hats, and they came to the U.S. and somebody was like, "You're wearing a hat."
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. All the top. Oh my God, he just pulled out a cupola.
There it is.
Is it this?
It sure is. Damn. That is the cupola right there.
That was a golfer's hat. What are the, I
call it a newsy hat because I'm a big hat, old Christian Bale fan.
Yes.
See, and you can pull it off because, and this is not, this is in no way a negative thing, but you have enough dome to do it. My, see, if I wear one now, like my ears will still stick out enough.
You'll actually look like a cast member.
Always look like a newsy. Yes, yes. The nonprofit I work for, we did like a cute newsletter announcement where my buddy took a picture of me wearing one of those and holding a newspaper. And I look 9. It does not matter. Like, it's just big enough that I'm just like,
I do have one of those aforementioned. What did your mom call Alec Baldwin's fat fucking head?
Red faced Mick.
I do have that kind of red faced Mick head. So.
Yeah, you do. You do. You do. Let's carry off an Italian hat.
Great job, both of you, on a cupola. You're getting 2 points each. You dazzled me with your knowledge, and Mike with your hat. I mean, come on.
My prop comedy on
adult,
you know,
show
the
and
audio
tell.
Medium.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, wait! I've got a hat for that. I'll be right back.
It was 2 feet away. Come on.
It always is.
My safety blanket.
Yeah.
So now it's time to play our first game. It's time to play province or not. So I'm going to name what could be a province of Sicily or something that I made up. And you'll each have 2 chances to just give me a yes or no. We'll see how we do here. So we will start with Kate. Kate, is Siciliana a province in Sicily or not?
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's not. That was a trick.
So
I know.
Nose,
I was like, I was like so on the nose. That's the thing. I was like, it could have gone either way. I shoot your shot.
Yeah. You certainly Alexander Hamilton that. You did not give it away.
The only man to ever shoot a shot.
Yes. Into the air. Like, I just didn't care.
Gentleman whose last name was Italiano. And my favorite bit was every day be like, so where's your family from? He did not like the book.
That's funny. Oh, man. Mike.
Yes.
Is Palermo a province of Sicily or not?
Shit, it is the capital, but I don't know if it's a province. Is it one of those both things? I'll say yes.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. It is one of those both things.
It's one of those both things.
I had a horse burger in Palermo and disgusted my wife.
How was it? What was it like?
It was tasty, but then my stomach felt weird later, and I didn't know if it was because of the meat or because of the psychosomatic ramifications.
Yeah.
It's a little long in the tooth,
was it
maybe.
Was it ground horse?
Yeah. It was like a giant, fat, juicy burger.
But made of horse meat.
But then she kept saying how freaky it was, and I think it got to me.
Yeah. It wasn't just like The Godfather, like there was a horse in the bed when
it was,
woke up
it was
in the hotel,
two
and
buns.
They're like, here.
They put 2 buns around a horse head, and I just started to chow down for breakfast.
It's like the classic Simpsons California cheeseburger, but instead of a baby, it's a horse. Great job, Mike. Okay, Kate, is Messina a province in Sicily or not?
I'm trying to think if it's in Sicily. I know it is because I know it's a place because of the Shakespeare play, one of them is. And I'm going to guess, yeah, because they're coming from Messina. Yes, I'm going to say yes.
You are correct. Yeah. Well done. Okay, and Mike.
Yes.
Is Loganza a province in Sicily or not?
No. It sounds like you're mispronouncing a throat lozenge. I'm going to say no.
You're correct. I was actually making a bad backdoor Loggins and Messina joke. Since there's Messina, there would naturally be Loggins-a to take us to the danger zone.
Oh, Much Ado About Nothing. They come from Messina. That's what it is. Okay, now I got it.
All right.
So everyone knows I'm smart.
This bitch went to college.
I love it. Yeah, I'm going to give you a Shakespeare point. I'm going to throw an extra point on there. So yeah, great job. You're both getting 2 points for province or not.
Cool.
Wasn't that fun? It was a little geography game.
So fun.
Everybody
Mike,
loves
we're
that.
And neck. We're
I
really...
know, but you keep getting these extra points and I'm trying to figure out how to get those.
I think you need to be a little more charming.
You know what? I've been told that since I was born and I cannot do it.
Honey, you either got to be an athlete or you got to be charming. You can't be either.
No.
As you lock your knees.
I'm neither. I'm going to lock my knees and be real rude.
So let's hop into round number 3. Mike, do you have a vague idea about John Travolta?
Sandy!
Yeah.
Rocking, rolling, whatnot.
Michael, Face Off. What was that one where he had the bald head lately? Yeah, John Travolta, welcome back, Cotter. He would say things like up your nose with a rubber hose and people thought that was funny. And so I would be like, I'm rhyming, and people did not think it was funny. Like Kate said, Mike, you are not charming. a huge Scientologist and more disturbing things have come out about him.
Wait, what are the more disturbing things? I know there are rumors that he's gay.
That's not
and
disturbing.
That he's weird. Yeah, that's not a disturbing
weird.
One.
He's a weird Scientologist.
Yeah, I think everyone just knows he's weird and that he certainly has secrets. And I think in 2002, people were like, maybe it's gay. Maybe the secret's gay.
Oh,
and
2002, that's just what everybody thought everybody's
exactly,
secret was.
Exactly,
is it now, gay?
We have to figure out what people's secrets are these days.
Yeah, everybody was like, Rock Hudson was gay. Oh my God. Yeah. It could be anybody.
It could be anyone.
He took so long to make Battlefield Earth that he could no longer play the lead. He had to play the weird dreaded alien, and by dreaded I don't mean like terrifying, I mean like dreadlocked.
No.
Oh yeah, that is an dreads. Horrible movie.
It's bad.
You got like a swim nose guard thing in the whole time too.
Oh boy.
And he can sing and wear a hot pair of jeans. I love this. I don't know.
Yeah, I do too. All right. I do too.
He's the one that you want.
Haunt it.
That movie's fun. I should watch that.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's good. Great, Mike. Kate, what do you know about John Travolta?
I know that he a little sick, but only on the weekend. I know.
I don't know what that means.
Saturday Night Fever.
Oh,
have some fun,
shit,
Mike.
That was clever.
Don't be an idiot.
I'm a bit of an idiot.
I know he had a recent Christmas album with Olivia Newton-John in which they're both holding tiny coffee cups on the cover. It's very, very cute. I know that, I think Kelly Preston, did she die recently? I think
she
something
did.
Very sad.
Yeah.
I know he's had a lot of family tragedies and that is sad. I know he has horrible hair plugs. He was incredible as whatever Shapiro in American Crime Story, O.J. Simpson. He was very beautiful. He was very beautiful for a long time. I think that that should be respected for what it was. I don't think we should forget it.
Him and Alec Baldwin. Makes me terrified of the growth my head might go through at some point because they both were sexy, slim-headed gentlemen. And God damn it, did they balloon up?
It's possible that your head kind of came into its own early, though. You got to think about that.
Thank you.
Early bloomer.
Like.
When do men like get quote beefy? Did it happen to either of you guys? You know how like Leo DiCaprio went from being like kind of like, you know, a slip of a thing to like being a man of meat.
That happened to me at age 11.
I've always been kind of a proactive kind of guy.
I also use proactive.
I'm still waiting for any sort
of still
thing.
A slip
like,
of a
I,
thing.
I've just been pretty much, I was undersized through in the entirety of my life until I was about 25. And then it was like, oh, you're kind of adult sized now. Good for you.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Good for you, Tyke.
I'm snackable though. That's,
yeah, exactly,
that's
exactly.
The thing.
Fun size.
Yes. Yeah. Anything else on Mr. Travolta? Anybody?
I really don't think so.
Okay. The only thing nobody mentioned is he is one of those avid pilot guys who flies his own jet everywhere.
He's a plane guy.
Wow. Including forcing into, so he's a star of the Look Who's Talking film series, where he portrays a cab driver in the first movie, and then progressively portrays a pilot through the second two movies.
Well, that's your natural career trajectory.
And it's they used his own plane in those movies, because that's Johnny T. Rolls.
Yeah. He has that upward mobility.
That's really good. Flying. There's got to be... I wonder where the pain is. I wonder what the scar is that makes one a pilot, an actor, and a Scientologist. You know, what is that? What was
Who
that
hurt you?
Wound? Yeah, I wonder what that was.
Yeah, like we got to get Leah Remini on that just to figure it out, because I'm sure she knows the people.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, there's a couple of them that qualify. They're a cult.
Yeah. It is a horrible, horrible organization. Don't add us. Thanks.
Yeah.
Cause otherwise what, you got Harrison Ford as a pilot also, but not a Scientologist.
He just crashes a lot though. Cause he doesn't have the tachyons or whatever dumb bullshit they believe in to keep him up in the air.
But lucky his head's so big that he float in the water.
Yeah.
Dumb buoy.
That's what the earring's for. He pulls it and his head gets even bigger.
Yes. Callista, you have to pull my earring for yourself before you pull it for me. Make sure that you survive the crash. great, great, wonderful job. Kate, I'm going to give you 5 points on John Travolta.
Yeah,
Mike, I'm going to give you 4 points.
That's hurtful. I listed so much of his IMDb.
Don't worry, you've got a chance. Lots of things are still happening.
I do have a question. Both Mike, both in this game show and in the other one that we have participated in, how earnest is your desire to win points, even if like is it like an innate like kind of frustration that you don't even want to admit when you don't?
I've learned how to drywall, Kate, because I punch holes through my wall. I'm only ever earnest, only ever going to camp.
No, that's the thing that I'm finding again about the male podcast world is that they are earnest.
No, it's I used to be. I once throw a chair across the Pop Filter studio because I lost a thing? Sure. But I was a younger man. Now
he
I have
has
a,
not sinned may cast the first stone.
Look, my co-host drafted Buffy before I could, and that's inarguable. But yeah, I have a detached, healthy emotional attachment to everything I deal with these days.
Yeah, good. Proud of you. That's growth and not just
I'm gonna go make
head.
A drink.
Yeah. Great job. Round number 4. Kate, mm-hmm. Do you have a vague idea about the Sicilian defense?
Oh shit.
Yeah, I think it's the Tower of Pisa. I think they build a whole bunch of just kind of surround themselves and they kind of keep a lookout. The Sicilian defense, I literally have no clue. I'm trying to think of kind of maybe, I don't know. I'm not even coming up with a good one. Self-deprecation? I don't know. I don't know how they handle it.
I'll give you a point for that. That's real. That's real.
Witness a master improviser.
Mike, what do you think? Sicilian defense.
Recently popularized by the Netflix miniseries The Queen's Gambit, the Sicilian defense is, of course, a chess maneuver. When somebody's bishop is coming at you, you'd move your rook to e3 and your knight to 4f.
That seems like someone's got a computer in front of them.
I have three, but I'm not. Am I typing anything?
But the E3 to 4F, what's that, Mike?
That's if you know chess, those aren't real squares. Don't blow up my spot.
Yeah, you got a B12 to
O7.
You know how we play chess.
B12. God, I got so the thing about the Queen's Gambit is I got lost in her eyes. So
yeah.
I don't remember much of the chess part.
She's dazzling. She does seem like she's half elven. And half human.
Well, there's a brain behind those eyes. That's what yes. I have to say about that Anya Taylor-Joy rules.
Kate, frank question. Has anybody ever said you look like her? Because I often. Think you do.
Yeah. My mom sends me pictures all the time saying this is you. And mm-hmm. so much more when I was little or younger, because I was blonder when mm-hmm. I was like blonde as a little kid. Yeah. Like her and the witch is exactly what I looked like.
Bitch.
When I was like
14. That and you had a pet goat.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And
your relationship with Satan is well documented. Oh,
it's good and strong. I mean, 10 years now, babe.
Hey, you know, and especially like a pandemic really brings you together. You know, even if you're having a tough
sense
time.
Of humor, it's about.
It's the dark humor.
It's the dark humor we share. If he's not your friend, don't put a ring on it. You know.
Mike, you're right. It is a chess defense. It's a chess opening that you would use. It begins with the following moves: e4, c5.
I said e4. I know. That's I said a lot of bullshit after that, but I said
no. Mike should get extra points.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Mike, you're gonna get 4 points, and Kate 2 points.
I'll take it.
Which does mean at this point you are tied at 17. Just so everybody kind of feels it out.
I care more than I used to. I'm letting you know.
I know.
the origin of the Sicilian defense is Giulio Cesare Polerio in 1594.
It's an old game. I forget how old chess is. It's probably why it's so complicated.
Back when lots of time to kind of iterate it and everything.
Yeah, and back when people were like, you know what's fun? Really hard stuff.
Yeah. This is fun because I can control this hard thing, whereas my child's slow demise due to various plagues, I can't do anything about. So.
So I'm going to get really good at sort of pragmatism and strategy here, because my family is dying because we haven't been able to grow potatoes for the past 20 years.
Oh, the Irish.
I know. I was like, shaw.
So great job on the Sicilian defense. We're going to play our second game. It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. And this is going to be all Sicilian-American edition, so get ready.
Oh, fun.
It's going to be so awkward when he just lists off the three of our names.
You got to fucking kill one of us.
Yeah, it's kind of going to be a Mexican standoff.
I mean, we just met. I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, we'll see how the chemistry
skeletons
kind of
in closets. Yeah. Your options this week are the venerable singer, Frank Sinatra. The
Blue Eyes.
The slowly declining actor, Robert De Niro. Mm. And the no longer jolting, Joe DiMaggio.
Oh.
Who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? And who are you going to kill?
God, that's hard because they're actually all horribly abusive.
Yeah, I try to make sure to pick
tone. Yeah, exactly. All
yeah,
the
yeah,
same.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Mike.
I'm thinking, I know they're all abusive, but I think fuck DiMaggio, because he got with Marilyn Monroe, right? And I feel like she could mm-hmm. pick him at least good in bed. She could also pick him horribly abusive.
Actually, famously, very, very frigid. That's what they used to call her. She was completely dissociated from her body. She didn't have her first orgasm until she was 34 years old.
She had a rough young life.
She's got a rough life. Yeah, I know a lot about Marilyn. Her sex life was deeply unsatisfying. So I don't know if Joe was any good in the
Shit. Can I change? My hand is
Yeah, you can change. No, you're fine. We're having a dialogue here.
Oh,
this isn't
you're
about...
welcome. I threw you that one, Mike.
I'm going to kill Frank Sinatra because I do think he's a fucking piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I think he's a real dirtbag. I'm going to marry De Niro because I'm going to constantly just do the face back at him. And ask him if he can milk me because I have nipples. And all these are just normal bits that I do with my wife because her dance face, when she's dancing seriously, she looks like De Niro. So I do that.
I'm just waiting for a fist to come into screen here.
Dancing seriously.
She's dancing seriously. And I always ask her if she can milk me because I'm dancing with nipples. And then constantly, like marriage, you're getting little spats. You're like, are you talking to me? So you can just quote his own shit back at him. And then, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to fuck DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, he had a real good hitting streak, but we don't know if he'll be able to deliver in the bedroom. This.
They all did. Or not. Honey, they all did.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, Kate, what are you going to do? Who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kill?
This is hard. Yeah. I think I'm going to try to think about their contributions I think I'm gonna kill DiMaggio.
Okay.
He also the goofiest looking. And then I'm going.
No idea what he looks like.
Goofy.
Yeah.
Goofy as hell. But he was sweet. He did love Marilyn. He brought her flowers. I think he sent her flowers like every day for a very long time up until her death. Or something like that. Or maybe I made that up.
I think he was definitely better than Arthur Miller in the pyramid of Marilyn things. Yeah.
Marilyn husbands. Agree. Yeah. I think I'm going to fuck old Blue Eyes.
Okay.
That Tomcat got around.
Fly me to the moon.
Yeah, fly me to the moon, honey.
Did you know he had a cold once, though? Never mind.
Tell me. No, explain it, Mike. Explain it. Just so maybe the audience can forgive that dead air, that fart you laid.
There's an amazing bit of reportage called Frank Sinatra Has a Cold, where somebody wrote a whole profile on him while never being allowed to talk to him. It's taught like in every like how to report or how to write a nonfiction piece class. And it's fucking cool. Awesome. Go read Frank Sinatra Had a Cold. It's very cool.
Yeah, and then I guess that means, I don't want to marry De Niro. Okay, I'm switching it up. Kill De Niro.
Okay.
I'm going to marry Joe. Yeah, why not? And then, because apparently he'll send flowers to me even after he's consistent, right?
If he's as consistent a husband as he is a baseball player, exactly. You've hit the jackpot.
And you know
it might not be dazzling, but stuff will be where it's supposed to be every day.
Yeah, and his problem, frankly, was that Marilyn was too sexy, you know? And who can blame a man for being jealous of a beautiful wife? So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Mary Jo. I'm going to... kill De Niro and fuck old Blue Eyes.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
When you kill De Niro, are you going to quote the terrible movie Joker and say they get what they fucking deserve and then shoot him in the head? Because that is pretty boss.
Yeah. I definitely like take, you know what I would do? I'd probably look in the mirror a little bit and kind of rehearse it with a mohawk.
Sure. I think you would rock a mohawk, Kate.
I've had a mohawk. I was interviewed by Fox News with a mohawk outside of Columbia University once.
Is it because you had a mohawk? They're just like, what's your deal, girl?
It was Waters World back when that was a segment on Bill O'Reilly. And I saw him. I was walking down the street. I was bartending. And I had like a bleached kind of mohawk. And because I thought it was very punk and like blue eyeshadow and this 80s jacket. And I was going to go bartend. And I just saw him point to me. And then they all walked over.
You make us fair and balanced. Come here.
Exactly. My mom was watching because my mom watches Fox News. It was on in the background and she looked up one day and she was like, oh my God, that's my daughter. and now that she has in her living room a framed picture because the caption, they didn't end up using my sound bite because I sound too smart, but they did use my image because I look fucking ridiculous. And the caption underneath it is left-wing angst on college campuses.
Love it.
That's the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Get me that. Get me that Chiron. And I'll put that on a t-shirt. That's priceless.
On college campuses.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So yes, I have had a mohawk.
Great job.
Among us.
Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we've all been there. I had a point where all my hair got gathered into a peak at the top with as much product as was available.
We all were trying to be cool and failing miserably at different points in our lives. And we all had the exact same haircut in that life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that was like, that was when I smoked cigarettes also. And, all my grittiness.
In your Newsies cap.
Oh, yeah. Just like... Hey, are you old enough to smoke those?
Yeah.
No, sir. I swear I'm 24 years old.
No, I have a note from my mom. I'm buying them for her.
It's a candy cigarette.
I never thought of that. Like, could you just do a note from your mom? Like, please allow my son to buy this beer.
I think for a long time, the answer was yes. I think for at least that I've seen that in movies a couple times.
Especially if it's like an Italian-owned corner store.
Yeah, for a long time, if you showed up with a photograph of you and another person who was an adult and said, this is for them, they'd be like, oh, well, you got a photograph. I mean, how you can't forge that.
At Queen's Gambit, they do that. She goes and she buys her mother cigarettes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or her stepmom. Man.
Oh, those were the days. Whatever happened to us? We made
the greatest generation.
We made all the quiet parts loud and all the loud parts quiet for our time. It sucks. Yeah, great job. 3 points each on Fuck, Marry, Kill. You're both absolutely correct. I can't quibble with you. I mean, they're all treasures and terrible assholes at the same time.
Terrible treasures.
I mean, the big thing is, like, the only thing you got to know with De Niro, if you're marrying him, is he's not going to try anymore because he doesn't try at acting anymore.
You're burnt.
Accurate.
Well, and he's such an enigmatic character because as good of an actor as he is, he's one of those people who, whenever he speaks at anything as himself, it's almost as if there's absolutely nothing available.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he is a vessel.
Yeah.
Vessel for his craft.
He's a Celine Dion-esque sort of performer.
Who kind of cracked a long time ago, and that vessel is no longer doing it what it need.
I think it was The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. He cracked in the middle of that and then never came back.
Yeah, the straw that broke the back.
I mean, that'll kill anybody, though. That's, oh man.
What about Little Fockers? That was a rough one for him.
Yeah. He would not have agreed to Little Fockers if he had not first cracked with Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Exactly, exactly.
Are there two Bad Grandpa films?
Or is there just the one? Okay. I know there's one.
Yeah, yeah.
I know there's at least one Bad Grandpa out there.
There's a lot. I've had several.
Well, let's go into our special Grandpa Blast Corner. Mike, blast some grandpas.
My grandpa was sincerely worried I was gay and apparently would bring it up to my parents every chance he got. I never knew any of that till after he was dead. Fuck grandpas.
Yeah, fuck grandpas.
Go ahead.
You should have just been happy.
Yeah. I think I wasn't that emotionally close to the one I knew, and the other one is mythologized because I never actually knew my Sicilian grandfather. Actually, at this point, it's like they're barely even, they're like characters more than anything else.
It's more like what grandpa?
Which sounds brutal, you know, looking back, like, I hope my grandkids don't feel that way. I guess, but, you know, we'll see.
Get on
it. I'll be mean. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I might be a very bad grandpa.
That's a shirt too. We're just making shirts. Yeah, my grandfather famously told me when I was probably a sophomore in college and I was really contemplating, I had not declared a major yet. I was like, I'm really into psychology. I might do that. So I mentioned that to him and he said, why are you going to do that? Crazy people don't have any money. You're never going to make any money. Pick something better.
Crazy people are never going to have any money.
And of course the irony is no, actually you can make a lot of money. From people who would engage someone in psychology.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's a fool for listening to him and becoming a writer.
There's the money, kid.
Right? Yeah. People are paying for short stories left and right. Boom, bam, boom. Now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. And the only thing that's French about it is the name. All right. The Italian peninsula is perpetually giving Sicily the boot. If either of you could kick an island, which one would you kick and why?
The one that Weezer found in the sun. Probably that one.
That's good. It's overplayed. It needs kicking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kick that one out of the catalog. There's a lot stronger. You heard of Pinkerton?
That's about Japan, also an island, and way better ones. So.
Yeah, that's a cooler island.
Everything's an island when you think
with
about it.
With hotter teenage girls, according to Rivers Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fetishization, and we're not into that anymore. We were all really into it in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't know what anything was in the 90s.
Yeah, we were all but babies. We'd never done anything wrong before.
Yeah. Or at least no one had ever been like, my bad, in all of history. We've only just recently started declaring my bad.
Yeah.
And half of us are like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't be a narc. We're still cool.
You're right. That is kind of the vibe. Conservatives do kind of feel like the rest of us are narcs.
Yeah, that's all it is. They're just like, no, don't rat us out. We're winning because we're cool.
Actually, we're Sicilian. Yeah. Keep it in the family, baby.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick Pangaea. Does that count as an island when it was all together? Because I like the idea of having the power to be the reason it split into so many different continents.
Ooh. I think you're going to be surprised just how much that hurts your toes.
It probably will hurt my big old pinky island. Toes a little bit. I'll put some of my steel-toed docks on.
You going to keep everything where it is now, or are you going to kind of like mix it up? What are you feeling?
I'm going to mix it up because so right now, just like a corner of Sicily is on the African continental shelf and the rest is on the European continent. I'm going to switch it up and make so Sicily's pure African, baby.
Okay. Yeah.
Change it completely.
Exactly.
South America, North America flipped.
Wait, what? We were talking about the Rockies trading someone important? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were.
Sicily can relate.
Yeah. That African peninsula just traded. Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead. Send it over there. Meet Sicily.
Oh, man. I was trying to think of what island I would kick. And I think one of the Hawaiian islands that nobody likes. I'd kick one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
The one not hard, though. Just a little nudge.
A little yonder. A little down the way.
A tap. It's like a tap.
Crampiner style. Get away.
Yeah.
We're feeling crowded.
great job on Les Choses Francais Arbitraire. 2 points each. You're both absolutely correct. No debating that. It's just hard facts on this show.
It's hard facts.
All the time.
That Weezer joke was really good.
That Weezer joke was really good. It was a really good Weezer joke. Really good Weezer joke.
That one in the sun. Fuck you.
The one Weezer found in the sun. Funny.
There's a Song Exploder episode where Rivers talks about his songwriting style. I don't know. Have either of you listened to that? You heard that?
No, but is he talking about how his thesis at Harvard was figuring out the science behind Nirvana songs? Because that's a thing that was.
He does talk about it. Yeah.
About yeah.
So
yeah.
His whole songwriting style, like it basically, and granted, like I have not been super interested in Weezer for like four
no
albums
because
they've just been churning out relative schlock. But
yeah.
Like, he goes on to explain that his whole method is like a sequence of spreadsheets. He listens to songs. He goes, oh, I like that riff. And then he writes that riff down. And then he writes down conversations he overhears from people. And then he like cross-populates spreadsheets with this information. And he's like, cool. So this riff and that people's conversation.
I think that's kind of fascinating. I think that's really, really a legitimate way of making art. I know that other people may not think so.
It's kind of like found art, I guess, in its own way.
It's somewhere between like collage and the mathematical element behind any art, which is, you know, like whether it's music or comedy, like there's a logic behind it. And I think being interested in like the machinations behind the thing that you're making is cool. But then when you make really bad art for a decade, then it doesn't feel cool anymore.
Well, but it's cool when that like that's the base layer and then you sprinkle humanity on of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Forgotten that part. But that's why the
when you make good music, how you make it is cool.
But it still seems like when we put our heart into Pinkerton, we'll just write garbage because you guys didn't like it. Their next four albums, they've said each one will be inspired by a different band, and one of those bands is Weezer. So
that's brutal.
Leads me to think, fuck Weezer.
If the album title is not Ouroboros, I'm gonna hate vomit.
Yeah. Well, you're choking on your tail.
Yeah. I can't barf. I got my ass in my mouth. I don't know. I mean, it's just there's so much fantasy around like art creation being something that's like emotionally fraught, right? And the idea that he is so not, it's like it's more processed than you know, doing data crunching for for an investment
taste firm these tears robot
Well, their last album was called Okay Human. Like, fuck you, Weezer.
What's really insufferable about Rivers Cuomo is that he thinks he's super smart when actually he just isn't all that interesting. I feel like he's like an INTJ type. You know what I mean? Like, I think he thinks he's quite exceptional, which maybe he is. I don't know. I'm not here to shit on Rivers.
I mean, he's made an exceptional amount of money, which I mean, good on him.
A lot of money. Those first two albums are cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would argue even like Maladroit, I like a lot too a record, because at least it was like, oh, well, you're doing something, and I like 2 minute long pop songs. I'm into it.
Me too.
Do that.
Everybody does, right? I've never heard somebody say
90 minute movies.
That's the way things. Everything should be short.
Yeah. I don't have time for like. Somebody needs to bring that short TV thing back now that people can start commuting again.
Quibi?
Yeah.
You want those quick bites?
Yeah, we need.
Nom, 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 nom.
I want to watch 3 minutes of a show. just long enough to barely lose concentration.
However long it take me to poop, no yeah. more, no less.
Only three. That's crazy. I would need. What's the longest Breaking Bad episode?
No, yeah, no. Actually, the healthiest,
one about Ozymandias.
The you know, poop is healthy when it insists on staying inside of you. My shit's codependent. I have IBS-C.
Oh, yeah.
I know. We're all getting through. Hey, we all suffer.
Yeah, we're
hey,
living.
Anyone
real people.
Sound like a Sicilian Catholic, just say we all suffer. That's very culturally true.
And that is that place where Sicilian Catholics and Buddhists kind of almost cross.
You know, very sincerely, I was listening to a very cool, I mean, he's of the Irish persuasion, but an interview between Stephen Colbert and Anderson Cooper. And he's talking about, because he's quite Catholic, and he was talking about like getting through trauma, losing family members and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, like, there is, life is suffering. Like, that is what it is. And he's like, you're either Catholic or you're Buddhist with that, but it's, you know, those, we share that fundamental belief.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Cause right. It is. And if you embrace it, then it's never surprising. But if you are like, life's great, you're going to be like shocked yeah. every time a pet or a person dies. Yeah.
Well, it's the contrast too, right? Like if you acknowledge that life is suffering, then you recognize the beauty and the pleasure yeah. and those things. And you actually mark them instead of just letting them fly by.
Yeah. I mean, it's in seriously, like in such hard times, like it is that interview was really nice. Cause like what he was talking about was, you know, that I'm while I'm here, I don't want to necessarily be the best person or the happiest person. Those probably aren't achievable, but I do want to be the most human. And I think that helps as an artist, as a writer, kind of like, okay, let me just sink into the experience and know that it'll be bad a lot of the time.
Do you know who said that really well? Was Rob Zombie.
Oh, I believe that.
And more human
Poet
than
Laureate.
Human.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he meant.
Hey, great job on Les Shows Francais Arbitraire. You both got 2 points.
Heck yeah.
You are tied at 22
Nate, you're
points.
You're going to have to, at a certain point, you're going to have to pick a favorite kid.
I know.
You're
well,
gonna
and that's
what pick a parent to live with.
That's what's going to happen here as we go into the final topic.
Dunk, dunk.
Dunk, dunk.
And as everyone knows, the Vague Idea winner really receives all of the marbles, literally. We talked about marbles earlier. We are going to send. Mike has, how many thousands of pounds of marbles do you have in your household right now, Mike?
8,000 pounds of marbles.
Yeah, yeah. All courtesy of a Vague Idea Studios.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning of the pandemic, everyone was hoarding them. And...
Yeah, I was like, I need a new hobby. Yeah.
There was a rush on the marble stores.
We figured some sort of Demolition Man adjacent toilet paper yeah. scenario was going to happen. Yeah. Just marbles will be the thing.
Marbles are the new currency.
Yeah.
Post-COVID.
They're so pretty.
They're so pretty. I love everything about marbles. They're round. They're glass. They're pretty.
Yeah. I mean, it really makes me understand also why some people are really into pipes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Very sincerely.
Yeah. People are into glass because of the marble swirl. Style stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Action, it's so cool. I mean, any kind of, oh, well, talking about Italians, what is the glass blowing, island that is, I don't know.
Maltese.
Someone will know what I'm talking about. It does start with M.
Murano.
Yeah, Murano. Glass blowing. That's cool. It's that kind of crap.
Yeah.
The original marble.
Which is why the Nissan Murano is hand blown as well.
Yeah.
It's a glass car.
Its wheels are marbles. It is hard to drive.
Okay, so here we go. This is for everything. Kate, do you have a vague idea about Vito Andolini?
Oh, well, I know the president can, Vito Andolini.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah. I like that. No, I like it. I like it.
And that's really as much as I have to say. I don't. I know Vito's a first name. Is he? I know he's not the guy who got shocked to death. He didn't die in the electric chair for being a communist, did he?
Was that him? No, okay. not executed for communism.
Okay, well then yeah. I'm out.
Well, hey, you got it's a first name, and I'm gonna give you a point because of the president joke. I like
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mike Vito Andolini.
Vito Andolini is, of course, he was known as the Pirate King of the Andal Mountains, and then he escaped imprisonment, and on the run, he was trying to find the lost city of Atlantis and found Sicily, and then he created what we now know and love as that little football island that we all hail from.
Little marble in the ocean.
The little marble in the sky of our ocean.
Yeah, that's our poet. wait, how did you know that, Mike? Did you ocean. Really know that?
No, Kate, God damn it, I'm lying all the time. the point is you just take a deep breath and go, well, and start talking.
Yeah, it's yeah. convincing me every time. I'm constantly good at lying. Amazed. Yeah, yeah. You are.
Great job. You are both incorrect.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Vito Andolini mm-hmm. came to America from Sicily as a young boy after his parents were killed, and his last name was changed in New York
Corleone?
To Corleone. And Vito Corleone.
Yeah. Okay, because I was literally, because I was like, the only thing I know is Vito Corleone, yeah. but clearly he has a different last name, so that can't be the same can't man. Be.
Yeah, that's why I picked certainly it, because it's tricky.
Woo! Well, change your first name too, guy. Come on.
Yeah. Arbitrary.
So that means that you tied. So you share victory on this week's show with 23 points.
We're equally Sicilian.
Equally Sicilian. We get the same amount of marbles, which is good because that seems like the only way to for us to play against each other.
Yeah.
That's how marbles works, right?
Yeah, you got to have some because you take them away from people after you win.
You have your big slammer marble and you're trying to knock each other's marble out.
Yeah, I like the fatty. The marble whose head kept growing.
Yeah. The Alec Baldwin of marbles.
I think what's important too is that the real prize this week, the real win, is friendship, because I feel like we're going to be doing some podcasts together in the future. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, this is fun.
It's been a real pleasure to meet you, Kate. Kate, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, I'd love to plug my new podcast with Tompkins. It's called Movies I'd Like to Fix. You can find us on Twitter at movies_fix. So far, we have but a 12-minute teaser talking about the Oscar noms 2020. In my opinion, incredibly funny. But we are quite a way from any real drop of any real episode that we did just record our first one. It's a podcast about us perfecting the subgenres. This first season is revisionist Western. We're going to watch a handful of revisionist Westerns, pull our favorite parts, disregard our least favorite parts, and build the perfect screenplay to be read aloud on our final episode. It's a really good idea, and we'll see how it goes.
I would love, I'm just going to throw this out here now as an idea. I would love to be part of any sort of fixing the Star Wars sequel trilogies.
Yes, yes.
With you.
You have a lot to say.
I have so many good ideas. I've rewritten all of it in my head to make it actually work.
Well, that's
and
why
interesting.
It's so big now.
Yeah. Oh man, it's just crazy. Cool, I look like MODOK over here. That's fantastic. Just through podcatchers, or is there a web address for that?
Not currently, honestly. Right now we're on the very nascent stages, so
good
check
use
it,
of
keep, follow us. Thank you. So feel free, follow us on Twitter. We will be giving you updates. It is forthcoming, and it will be very, very fun. Other than that, you can follow me on Instagram at kate.dellis.funny.kind, or on Twitter at kate_dellis.
Perfect. Thank you, Kate. This was great.
This
was a blast.
Great.
And
thanks,
it rhymes.
Nate.
We all rhyme with great.
We all rhyme.
Yeah. Kate, Nate, Mike is what they call me.
It's a slant rhyme. Again, the poet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is sometimes the most beautiful music is in the notes that we don't play, Mike.
Yeah. Jazz backgrounds all.
Yeah, jazz background.
Jazz Mike. Backgrounds all.
Mike, is there anything you'd like to plug?
I would love to plug the Superhero Show, where every week we watch and review literally every single live action television show based on comic books. We started long ago when there was 4, and now there's 4,000 every week. And we all have poor marriages and lives because of that.
It's an overwhelming thing because it's, you said all comic book shows based on comic books or comic book properties. And or I was like, book, that was, is,
yeah.
That
so
is
when they're
insane.
Like, there's Walking Dead spinoffs. There's never a comic book called Fear the Walking Dead. Nope. We fucking watched that piece of garbage too.
God, I'm sorry.
Gotham did that. Gotham was fun.
In the end, we all build our own hell.
Yep.
Some might say this podcast is mine.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you want to hear slightly more intellectual, and then some past guests include one Kate Dallas and one Nate Rigoli, you should check out Movie of the Year. Every season we pick a different year, drill down, build a bracket, and make those movies fight to find the best movie of any given year. And if we're doing social, I'm at Microfonio, because it sounds like Mike Gravano, at Twitter.
You like
Instagram.
That.
Well, he wanted list. To anglicize his name out of shame of his Sicilian past.
Nobody knew how to say it.
No one knew how to
it.
Say it, so I had to say Grafonio.
Grafonio. It's like microphone. Yo.
Which, I mean, that's your personality up and down the line.
Yeah.
Jim Tan microphone.
GTM.
Oh, man. This has been so much fun. I really appreciate you both giving me your time to be on the show. I'm glad that you just, it was just neck and neck, claw to claw fighting. Yeah. So we're going to have a rematch at some point.
Yeah,
to settle this hash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the other topic we could both do? Like Sicilian round two or something.
Sicilian round
different
two,
our
friend Tompkins.
Our friend, yeah, we could see Tompkins. We could
going to school in New York.
We both went to school in New York. Yeah. Don't say what, because that's better.
No, because that'd be rude. We're not going to say where
west
we went.
Side.
I don't know if you've heard about a little neighborhood called Morningside Heights, but.
It's the most boring neighborhood in New York.
It's the worst neighborhood in New York.
So, yeah, thank you both again for being on. Listeners, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That really helps us out. You can check us out. We're all over the social media. I'm not even going to bother to list it. You'll figure it out. A Vague Idea. It's not hard to find. We're the only podcast with that name. It's probably the most novel thing I've ever come up with. we also have three other podcasts on our network. We have Funky Spunk, our weekly wrap-up of Sex in the City as they go through episode by episode to discuss how well that show holds up. We also have Roll for Blank, which is our actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast, and the Hard Pick Mining Company, which covers the Denver Nuggets if you're into basketball at altitude.
Heck yeah. You should have me on Funky Spunk. I am very well versed in the catalog of
Phenomenal.
Sex and the City.
I will talk because I don't even host that one. I've got we have two phenomenal ladies who host that, and they would love to have you. I will connect you.
Yeah.
To them.
I got
for
a
that.
Lot to say about good old Sex and the City.
Yeah, I got to guest on their recent episode, which was The Man, the Myth, the Viagra, where Samantha
takes Viagra and can't stop fucking.
Yeah. There's like an old man bun in it. And I think that was pretty much all that there was. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a delightful just air-filled snack of a program that
Truly.
Show was.
True.
If you like our theme song, please check out Michael J. O'Connor's music at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. And otherwise, I mean, hey, we are still technically in a pandemic. So unless you got your shots, put on your mask and be a cool person for just a little longer. Like, you're literally at the end. Don't be a dick.
I like using podcasting for PSAs. That's very kind of World War II almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay new to your pets.
From the bunker.
News from the bunker. Keep wearing your masks.
And harvest aluminum.
If you don't harvest your aluminum now, Elon Musk will take it to send it to the stars. So yeah, we've all had a vague idea about Sicily and Sicilians this week. And that is a good thing. Because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Rigolia, with Shannon Page, and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.